couple of months ago, I introduced this book that was written 30 years before, Morris Vinden. And this book was predictive of what would happen 30 years later. Morris Vinden, with apologies to Luther, now sets forth in print 95 theses on righteousness by faith. And when I was getting ready to go to the Martin Luther historic locations that Daylene will show us some pictures about, I couldn't help but recognize that his focus was on forgiveness. And so we took this book in its themes, and we focused in on the forgiveness themes that Morris Vinden highlighted. And this theme is number 34 of the 95. Those who are forgiven much will love much. Those who love much will obey much. Morris Vinden tells about how when he was at PUC, he was 8 miles from the nearest known sin. Because it was such an isolated area. And some of you who know that Nampa is probably about 8 miles away, that's how it was looked at. However, one Sunday, the telephone rang, and one of his parishioners wanted me to deal with his neighbors. The pastor has the opportunity to be a mediator, apparently. The neighbor's horse had run through his petunias, and he felt that I was the logical one to handle the situation. Well, how much are we to forgive? Peter thought he was being very liberal when he advanced a 3 times, maybe even 7, maybe 7 times. In Matthew 18:21, it talks, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till 7 times? And then Jesus, can you imagine this conversation? Jesus says, finish it with me, 70 times 7. I don't know if all of you know what dawned on me for the first time. What was Jesus saying? The only time in all of Scripture where 70 times 7 is mentioned is in forgiveness. Daniel. I'd like to just, in the short few minutes that we have, just open your Bible. And perhaps you all know this, but it was a wonderful revelation to know that Jesus is highlighting that God has infinite grace and forgiveness. This verse 24 is the good news. It's the greatest verse in all of Daniel, in my mind. Daniel 9:24. 70 weeks have been decreed for your people and your holy city to finish the transgression. Now, if we're talking about sins, and isn't that good news? We're going to finish this. We're going to finish it. Okay. Then, number two, to make an end of sin. Boy, that's even a greater layer, isn't it? An end of sin. To make atonement for iniquity. Oh, my. There's a huge price, atonement, atonement, the price to bring this about. To bring in everlasting righteousness. Well, if you're in an environment with everlasting righteousness, you certainly are far away from sin, aren't you? And then the last, to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Lauren's number talked about the mercy seat, sanctuary imagery here. Jesus is going to be our atonement, our ending of finishing the transgression, making an end of sin. So I can't help but think that, along with you perhaps, that Jesus, in his response to Peter, is putting up a big sign there saying, hey, look at Daniel 9:24. Now, Jesus recommended unlimited forgiveness. 490 times? That sounds like pretty quite unlimited. And he would not ask us to be more forgiving than God is. So we know that God's forgiveness is also without limits. As long as we keep coming to him and asking for pardon and receiving his gift of forgiveness. Now, this morning we talked a little bit about license. Well, I'll just touch on this. John 14:15, if you love me, you will obey what I command. There you have it. God's forgiveness is limitless. But this does not lead to license, because the one who is forgiven much loves much. And the more you love, the more you obey. It's just that simple and profound.
Martin Luther has had a tremendous impact on all of us, more than we realize. Whenever we sing Christmas carols, Away in a Manger is credited to him. Mighty Fortress, and one of the emissaries to the Pope said, we can't fight against Protestantism because we don't have the same music. So the map that you're looking at is where Wittenberg is, just so that you have some sort of concept. I never actually knew where it was. This is the main street. It's only about a quarter of a mile long. His church, where he was the pastor or the priest for many years, is on one end, and on the other end was the church. You can see in the background the spire where he posted his 95 theses. It's a delightful, beautiful little town. We had the opportunity to worship with the local congregation, and one of the ladies there, because it was the 500th year, was handing out Great Controversies to her local people, where they can put stuff in mailboxes. She had already done several towns, she and her brother. Her goal was 85,000 before October, and I think she'll make it. This is the town square with the statue that has blessed many people, reminding them why we are having this celebration. This was Martin's Bible that we got to see in the museum. A number of pictures, and thank you to the person who put one on the back of the bulletin for us. Those are the traditional viewpoints and representations of pictures of how significant it is. And I'm not getting it to forward. If you want it, yes, thank you. I guess, yeah. One of the more famous ones. And next, I believe, this is called the Castle Church. You can see on there is a banner for the 2017 Reformation. And it was that church where he posted his 95 theses. Another backside view of the church. Everything is green. It's so beautiful. Another front view of the church. These are the doors. Well, this is the doorway where the original doors were wood, and in 1931 he posted on those doors his 95 theses, and his introductory paragraph said, out of love for truth and from a desire to elucidate it, the Reverend Father Martin Luther, Master of Arts in Sacred Theology and ordinary lecturer therein at Wittenberg, intends to defend the following statements and to dispute them in this place. Therefore, he asks those who are not present and dispute with him orally shall do so in their absence by letter. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. And then he has the 95 theses. And those theses now are on this door, bronzed, so that you can see them. And this is the inside of his church. And I think the, maybe I had one more. This is the, well, the previous one was the ceiling. Everything is beautifully ornate. And then the last one. He had been studying his Bible, as all of us need to do, and he was fighting with himself for forgiveness from God. We all struggle with that. Does God love me? Does he accept me? And so Thesis 35 from Morris Vanden says, forgiveness is free, but it is not cheap. It cost the life of God's dear son. Now, school is starting way too soon for me. I've been gone 6.5 weeks this summer, so I'm not in the mood for school to start, but I'm having to, and I'm working on my syllabus and all the computer updates at the university and so on. And I'm trying to decide, the first thing everybody wants to know is, how much do I have to do to earn an A, right? Well, if we're discussing grades one day in a college class, and would it be better if everyone in the class just got an A automatically, or would you rather get an A if you've worked hard to earn it? Well, most students said, well, we'd rather work hard for our grade. We'd learn more. Well, I had expected a lot of kids to say, yeah, that's great. Give me an easy A. Well, why don't you want a great GPA? Well, yeah, but if you gave everybody an A, it wouldn't mean anything. We wouldn't learn as much because we wouldn't have to study. We wouldn't have to remember. So what makes something more valuable? If it's a gift, or if you work for it. That was what the whole Reformation controversy really was over. If your landlord pays you the water bill for you, does that mean you use more water than you would if you had to pay the water bill? Or are you using the company car and you have a chance to rent a car with unlimited travel mileage, would you drive the car more or less? Or if you got to stay in a motel or hotel for a convention that was paying for you, would you stay in the same motel that you normally do when you go on a family vacation? Well, it is true that people tend to place a higher value on things you have to put forth effort to do. So why didn't God set up a plan of salvation by works? That's what Luther was struggling with. Romans 6:23 says, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So forgiveness and pardon and salvation is a gift, not something that we can earn, no matter how hard we try. So how can we value these gifts like we should. In order to figure this out, we have to know what forgiveness is. God's forgiveness, this is from the Mount of Blessing, God's forgiveness is not merely a judicial act by which he sets us free from condemnation. It's not only forgiveness for sins, but reclaiming from sin. It's the outflow of a redeeming love that transforms the heart. Now, love makes the difference, even when you're getting a gift. I just spent some time in Ohio, and Emmerich gave me a picture of a pig. Beautiful round kind of squiggles with a curly tail and some sort of a head with an eye and two legs. And his mom said, well, you know that pigs have four legs, don't? Well, of course, but this is a side view and you can't see those. So if a kid gives you a gift that is all stuck together with tape and glue and whatever, you still treasure it. Suppose you were in the hospital with kidney failure, and your brother said, yes, we're a match, and I'll give you one of my kidneys. And so you say, I really want to be able to appreciate this kidney so much. How about if I pay you $2,000 for it? He would be insulted. The fact that his gift has so much value and is given by somebody who loves you, that's what makes it beyond price. Love makes a difference, and need makes a difference. We have a friend who, about, 5 years ago, donated his kidney to another friend. Really made an impact on me. If you're drowning and somebody throws out a life preserver to you, do you say, now, wait a minute, I'm not sure I can afford to pay for this when I get to the shore, so, you know, is it okay? I've earned it. Your sense of need prevents you from that kind of thinking. So what keeps forgiveness from being cheap, even though it is free? It's recognizing our desperate need. It's understanding the cost that it was for heaven to offer this kind of gift. And it's recognizing the longing that the Heavenly Father has for reconciliation with his children. With a need like ours and a love like his, only a gift would answer.